over 300 global civil society organizations of small-scale food producers, researchers, and indigenous people held a recent online summit to protest against the United Nations Food Systems Pre-Summit, the People's Counter-Mobilization to Transform Corporate Food System, is the latest in a series of rejections of the UN Food Systems Summit, which critics argue is disproportionately influenced by corporate actors. We're joined by Kiana Mickey, who is a member of the Civil Society Mechanism Coordinating Committee. You know, what is the UN Food Systems, and why has the Civil Society Mechanism come together to offer counter to it?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah. So a little context to the UN Food Systems Summit. So it is it's a multi-day meeting that is supposed to bring together thought leaders, policymakers, farmers, and other concerted stakeholders to really kind of talk about how we should be transforming our world food production. How do we think about food and lift up and amplify solutions? And so there's like different tracks that bring along these different players from all different realms, like science, business, and policy, and academia, as well as supposedly youth organizations and farmers. So that's like what the summit is. And it's going to be held, we had a pre-summit in Rome, and the full summit will happen in September at the United Nations in New York City. But what we've been seeing over the last couple of months, or even longer than that, is this continued pushing out of the grassroots voice, the pushing out of small farmer stakeholders, and the increase of corporate capture within a summit that's really supposed to be about all of our food systems. So the UN Food Summit is really kind of in this critical pivot of saying that they're really trying to work towards amplifying solutions, but actually taking most of the people out that are really trying to move our food systems to a more resilient place.
Now, while the, you know, sort of corporate agribusiness food production system is often touted as, oh, it does a much better job of feeding people and growing food, in reality, it's almost the opposite case, that yes, it contributes both to hunger and malnutrition, and it's actually the small scale food systems that actually produce more food to feed people.
Absolutely. I mean, I think none of us have to look any, you know, too far to see the results of a global food system, or what happens when we, you know, continue to prioritize corporate scale. You know, we can look at the fires, you know, that are burning throughout our world. We can look to droughts. We can look to famine. We can look to food insecurity. For example, like over, you know, 118 million more people were facing hunger in 2020 than before. So if this is a system that's working, why isn't it not working? And what we do know is that when we look at regional food systems, when we look at local food systems, when we support, you know, agroecology, when we support food sovereignty, self-determination of resilient growing practices, resilient models that support small to mid-scale farmers in order to connect to communities in need and building a multiplier effect of not just economy, but healthy food, we see the difference, we see the impact, and why those solutions are seen as outliers versus the answers and the way forward. It's beyond me. And that's really what we were lifting up at our counter mobilization, is really trying to find a way to amplify the voices and work of small stakeholder farmers from across the globe, and that there are resilient solutions in our grasp. We need to resource those and we need to support those.
I was just reading a press release the organization sent out, and it made the point about a third of the people on the planet, lack access to an adequate, food supply. Why has the United Nations been so captured by the corporate agribusiness and, you know, what needs to happen to sort of elevate the, you know, the voices of the, you know, sustainable small indigenous farmers, community farmers?
I mean, from my perspective, being somebody who works on the ground and has been active in civil society work and other global grassroots movements, I see this leaning into corporate capture, just like we see in other parts of our food systems. I think it's a desire to continue to center capitalism as our only solution for, you know, our political and economic solution to our food crisis. And I don't think that's the case. But I think that it's this desire to continue to find ways to amplify problematic profit, how to amplify, you know, corporate and industrial agriculture as a solution, as opposed to more, you know, resilient measures. And I think that's something we see widespread throughout our food systems, local, you know, regional, as well as international.
You know, 15, 20 years ago, I was very active, particularly in New York State, trying to stop genetic engineering of our food system. And so when I was an expert on this 15, 20 years ago, you know, United States was really the ground zero for this, you know, unprecedented experiment. How has that GMO issue, you know, developed over the last 15, 20 years? And I, my unfortunate guess would be that many, many more countries are now seeing GMOs as a increasingly dominant part of their food system.
I would say you're kind of hitting it on the head in the sense of, you know, oftentimes the U.S. is seen as like a leader in a lot of systems and even in our agriculture space. So then we, you know, but again, if this is the top of it, if what we're hearing is like divest from, you know, like don't address inequalities in our food system, don't address exploitation or extraction of natural resources, and just lean into more of these in, you know, tech or innovations, or it's framed as like these are the answers or solutions, then yeah, people are going to follow. And also people follow the money as well. So people follow the power and the money. But what we really need to continue to hear and see are the voices of not just the grassroots in America, in the US, but also the voices of leaders in the global South. And I think we need to see more of that. And I think what we, you know, within our counter mobilizations try to do really well is prioritize indigenous voices, prioritize voices of color, like resilient practices, resilient ways of connecting smallholder farmers, fishermen, pastoralists, and rural workers. And this should really be the voice in the center, the most impacted should be the driving force and decision makers of our food systems, not the other way around. So when it comes to GMOs, I think we also need to continue to push on what is the seen as a prevailing voice or our technology that comes out of the US and also connect to the voices on the ground here as well, and biodiversity, social, economic, and climate justice leaders.
So we've been talking with Kiana Mickey, a member of the Civil Society Mechanism Coordinating Committee, about the UN food system. In the last moment, Kiana, so can you quickly articulate, you know, what are some of the alternatives your group hopes to be pushing, and how can people find out more information and have some impact?
Yes. So I encourage folks to continue to follow our hashtag, which is food systems for the number four people, and continue to follow up on our website, foodsystemsforpeople.org. So the four is a number, not. I would continue to encourage folks to start looking into if food sovereignty sounds something new to them, continue to look into that. If agroecology sounds new, continue to look out for the work of the civil society mechanism. Because right now we had this great counter mobilization against corporate capture, but this is just one stop on a long road. Between now and September, there will be more information to be found. And we'll be doing more interventions with the UN summit coming to New York.
Gianna Mickey, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.